Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Well, tonight is our fourth and final lesson in our series called The Storms of Life. It's been an honor to and a lot of fun to fill in for Dr. May these 4 weeks, tonight being the fourth week. And I appreciate the opportunity. And next week he'll be back and you hear some real preaching and Bible teaching. And so we look forward to that. But tonight's lesson, a little bit more on the practical side a little bit. Just want to let you know that. But we're going to talk about, you know, we've been talking about life in the storms. Tonight we're going to talk about after the storm. And so Acts 28, we're going to look at verse 1 through 10, and then we'll skip over to verse 30 and 31. Acts 28, verse 1. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Now, if you would, skip over to verse 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. God, thank you for your word. God, just as we sit with your word in our laps, I pray that it would apply it to our hearts. Give me the words to say. Thank you for this series we've been through, Lord, and pray that we'll be able to apply it to our lives. Thank you that in every area of life you provide answers and guidance and direction and truth from your word. I pray that you forgive me of my sins. Pray that I will decrease and you'll increase. I pray that you'll give me the words to say in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 days after Hurricane Jean hit South Florida, the Sun Sentinel newspaper had the following story. Arthur LaVon Davis Jr., age 56, died on September 27th. 2004, 2 days after Hurricane Jean swept across South Florida. The man was repairing the roof of Dixie Shoes when he fell 2 stories. An experienced roofer, he failed to realize the danger while working on the weakened structure. His mother, Aletha Davis, said this: "You're in a different frame of mind after a hurricane." The newspaper went on to say, quote, "That might be one reason why the mundane can be so deadly in the aftermath of a storm. Survivors are in a different frame of mind, glad to have survived, yet unaware of the existing danger around them." As I said a moment ago, tonight, of course, is our fourth lesson and final lesson in our series called The Storms of Life. In our previous lessons, we talked about 3 categories of storms. I'd like to mention those real quick this evening. We talked about that there are storms of suffering, and that's just a general bad things in life that happen, bad circumstances, negative things. We go through hard times, and that is called the storms of suffering. And then we talked about the storms of sorrow. That's when we lose a loved one, a family member, or friend, and it just, that time of grief and bereavement is like one of the storms of life. And we said especially very difficult when it's a sudden loss. And then the third category of storms were the storms of sin. That is when we find ourselves in one of the storms of life because of our own sin and disobedience and poor choices. And we looked last week, of course, at the story of Jonah and the whale, which is a great Bible example of someone being in a storm because of the storms of sin. We also have learned that there are two purposes for the storms of life, the storms of perfection. The storms of perfection. That's when God just uses those storms to grow our faith, to help us develop in our spiritual growth. And then we said there are also storms of correction that takes place when we are one of those storms of life that's caused by our own sin. God uses those storms of life to correct us, to get us back on track spiritually, if you will. And so regardless of the type of storm or God's purpose for the storm, it's usually very easy to recognize that we are in a storm. But many of us, many times, we don't recognize the danger that exists for the believer after the storm has passed. After Hurricane Irma in 2017, the Palm Beach Post had the following headline. Why most of the human tragedy from hurricanes comes after the storm. In the article, Craig Stetzer, the chief meteorologist in Miami, said this: "The wind is frightening. The preparations are frightening. But we have to expand our messaging that it's after that scary part of the storm that you also need to be careful." So tonight we're going to look at Paul's life, look at his example after his storm, and see how it is that you and I can apply these principles to our life, how we should live after we get through one of those storms of life. As the meteorologist said, we need to learn or realize that even after the storm, there is danger. Even after the storm, you and I as believers need to be careful. I want to kind of talk about the background of this passage and set the context once again tonight. Before we get to the body of the message, if you go back several chapters, I believe if you go back to chapter 21, you see where Paul was arrested because of his Christian faith. We all know that story, and we see where he was turned over to the Roman Empire, government authorities, turned over to the Roman soldiers. He goes before the Jewish leaders, and then he goes before the Roman king, and he makes a plea or makes a point that he makes a case that he should appear before Caesar, who is in the city of Rome. So the Roman soldiers are going to take Paul and transport him to Rome. They get on a ship together, headed to Rome, and yes, they end up in a very violent storm. After the storm is over, Paul, the Roman soldiers, other prisoners, and the entire ship's crew end up shipwrecked on the island of Malta. That brings us to chapter 28. So let's see what we can learn from Paul's example after the storm. That's the title of our lesson tonight, After the Storm. Three things let's talk about. First of all, notice this. Notice after the storm, brothers and sisters, we need to be available. We need to be available. Look at the first part of verse 3. Notice what it says. Well, let's lead into it. Tom may not have verse 2. I probably don't. I didn't give him that. Yes, he does. Look at Tom. Very good, Tom. Verse 2. Let's lead into it. Verse 2. Thank you, Tom. And the natives, that's the people on the island of Malta. No, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Now notice verse 3, the first part. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. All right, listen, if we look back at chapter 27, that gives us the details, very specific details of this voyage to Rome. After the storm was over, the crew realized that they were near land. They were off course. They didn't know where they were, but as the ship's crew could tell that they were near land, and they put down the anchors to stabilize the ship. The people on the ship wanted to get out of the ship. They've been in a storm trying to survive, and we'll talk about that in a moment, and so they're ready to get off that ship and get on some dry land, as you can understand. And Paul told them, if you get out of the ship, you will die. If you try to leave this ship and get to that land, wherever it is, whatever it is, you're going to die. And so they heeded Paul's advice, stayed on the ship, and survived. Now I want us to look at verse 33 and 37 through 37, or just take a look at that for a moment. In chapter 27, this is the story of what happened as they got anchors put down. They see land. They don't realize it's the island of Malta. But look at verse 33. And the day was about to dawn. Paul implored them to all take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival. Look at that, for this is for your survival. This will keep you alive, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. When he had said these things, they took bread, gave thanks. They all ate. It says they began to eat. They were all encouraged, verse 36, and also took food themselves, verse 37. And in all were 276 persons on the ship. And when they had eaten, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So you can imagine, if you're on a ship and it's rocking and it's a violent, wild storm, ships up and down, back and forth, you're trying to keep control of that ship. You're just trying to survive to the next minute. There's no opportunity to pop something in the microwave, amen, on a ship like that, right? Am I right? You can't make nothing to eat while the ship is doing all that. And so they're just trying to survive and didn't have time or the opportunity to eat. So Paul said, look, the first thing we need to do is eat. And they ate, got their nourishment, it says, and that was another way that he helped them to survive. Now, all 276 people on the ship make it to the island. They want to build a fire because it's cold and rainy outside. And notice verse 3 says that Paul begins to pick up sticks for the fire. Now, think about that for a moment with me. After saving 276 people from drowning or dying, he's telling them what they need to do to survive. After that, don't you think Paul could take a pass on picking up sticks for the fire? Amen, right? I'm sure those 276 people, most of them had to be grateful for Paul's advice and leadership and guidance and telling them how to survive. I'm sure they wouldn't have minded if Paul had just set one out, you know, as far as picking up sticks and wood for a fire. They probably wouldn't mind if Paul took a break. But Paul was a servant. Paul was a servant. Paul was a man, a believer who saw things. He saw what needed to be done, and he was a servant, and he would do what it took to get the job done. Amen? Right? You remember Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verse 1 through 8? Let me read that for you. Let me just flip over and read that. This was his letter to the church at Philippi. Remember? And this is a popular passage. Let me read this to you here. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Listen to Paul's perspective here. He says, his teaching. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And then he went on to talk about the humility that we ought to have in our lives, and gave the example of Jesus, how Jesus took the form of a servant and went to the cross. Listen, after the storms of life, as believers, it's time for us to get back in the game. Listen, church, after the storm, we got to get in church or stay in church and serve the Lord in some form or fashion. There may have been something specific that God revealed to you, showed you, not been what he's trying to teach you or show you, what something he wants you to do. Maybe that's what he showed you in the storm. You got to employ that. You got to do what he's telling you to do. But I promise you, the best thing you can do after that storm that you go through is get back in God's house. I've seen it so many times, and I'm sure you have too. People, God bless them, go through a very difficult time. We've all been there. Go through a storm of life. And you see people do that, and the next thing you know, they're out of church. When that ought to be the very place that they go to. Because remember those newspaper reports from hurricanes, after the storm can be the most dangerous time. We ought to be back in God's house with God's people. Doing something, serving somehow. I'm not saying that after you go through a real difficult time, let me say this, there may be physical limitations. Maybe other reasons that you can't do heavy, laborious things in the church. I'm not saying you get a chainsaw and go clear for, an acre on our back 40 here, but you can be a prayer warrior. You can be an encourager. You can do something in God's house among God's people, and that's the best thing for us after we come out of a storm. Listen to this. Listen. This is good. Listen. Do not let the quietness after the storm lull you into complacency. That quietness after that storm you go through will put you into a spiritual sleep if you let it. So we need to make sure that we get in God's house, that we stay involved, we make ourselves available, we do something for the Lord. After Hurricane Irma in 2017, the Washington Post ran the following headline. It was a headline in the form of a question. It said this, the deadliest period of a hurricane. The deadliest period of a hurricane? After it's over. The following statements were in this article. It said, many more fatalities happen when victims choose to leave safe shelter after the storm. There's an obvious commonality for nearly all these deaths. The victim was outside. Listen, I'm going to preach. Listen, church, even though my phone's going off here in my pocket. Listen. The safe place after the storm is in the church. Using that illustration, after the storm, you don't need to leave the church and go on outside into the world. You need to be in God's church. That's the safe zone. Somebody say amen. That's the safe place. That's where the safest place is in God's house among God's people, serving each other. God brings you through the storm
My goodness, don't turn your back on him and leave his church. That storm had a purpose. Get in church and put it in play. I'm preaching tonight. Number two, after the storm, we got to be available and we got to move on. Number two, I want you to see we got to be alert. You've got to be alert. Look at the second part of verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, if the devil can't win in your life during the storm, you can bet he's going to come after you after the storm. His main tools are doubt, discouragement, and to make you feel defeated. And he knows that after the storm is when we are most vulnerable to those emotions and attitudes. He knows he can attack us and try to get us to doubt, try to get us discouraged coming out of that storm. When we've been through a hard time, a difficult time, been through a storm, you need to be alert. You need to watch out, because Satan knows right where you are. He will come after you at that moment. We got to move on. But listen, I read an article online. The heading of the article, this online article, said, when mountain lions hunt, they prey, P-R-E-Y, on the weak. The first paragraph in this article said this, predators do not always play fair. Sometimes they choose their victims on physical condition, preferring young, old, sick, or injured prey. This article said there was a study done out in Colorado that discovered that mountain lions have this strong ability to recognize the weak deer. When they're looking for prey, when they're looking for supper, if you will, they can recognize the weak deer. It said these lions that they studied in Colorado could notice signs of illness that were too subtle for humans to see. The lion is looking for something to kill and eat and to prey upon. And they have this sense that they can see a deer who might look healthy to a veteran outdoorsman hunter, but that lion can sense that that deer is sick and weak, and that's the one he's going to go after. Listen, after the storm, we must be alert. As it says, we must be sober or serious-minded and focused. He says, be vigilant, because the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. We need to be strong in the Lord after the storm. That passage in 1 Peter goes on to say, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Notice this, listen to this verse. But the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's exactly what we need after the storm. Number three, we need to be available, number one, after the storm. Number two, we need to be alert. And number three, we need to be a witness. Look at verse 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. No one
forbidding him. At this point, he's in Rome. He's made it to Rome here. Let me give you this quote, and we got to wrap it up. It's been said that, quote, only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, a victim into a victory. Listen, if you've been through a difficult time, you may feel like that your life in that storm was a mess. But through that difficult time, you've got a message. Through that time, that testing time, you now have a testimony. Psalm 66:16 says this, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me." Daniel 4:2 says, "I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me." Listen, that is to be our attitude after the storm, that we've got to be willing to tell others how God blessed us, how God brought us through the storm, share with others what God taught us in the storm. And here's an important passage. I'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is an important principle and a well-known passage here. Verse 3 and 4, it says this, "Blessed be the God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Listen to this. Listen. Very applicable. Listen. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation." He comforts that. We talked about that in previous lessons. God is there with us in our storms. He comforts us. He brings us through. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." God comforts us in the storm, not just to make us comfortable, but to help bring comfort to others. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association has a list of guidelines for people, a set or a list of do's and don'ts, if you will, for people to use before, during, and after the storm. After surviving a storm in life, we need to remember to be faithful in serving God, because he was faithful to us in our storm. We need to in turn be faithful in serving God and serve him in his house. Drawing strength from others. Remain spiritually alert and focused and not get discouraged. We need to be mindful that we need to point others to him because of what he has done for us in our time of need. Let's pray together.